Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, May 26th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, we'll hear from public health experts about how to discuss gun violence risks with children and how to identify them as a parent. Then, the chief storyteller of the city of Denver will be on to tell us about a new film documenting the history of Chicanas. And John Lindorf will be in the studio to catch us up on local food news. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then, it's a public affair. Host Tish Buford will encore her interview with One Colorado's executive director, Nadine Bridges. Coming up at 9, it's the May installment of the Radio Book Club. And today, we hear from Colorado author Vahini Vara, whose new novel is The Immortal King Rao, a dystopian tale set in the new future, where the world is ruled by a corporate board, citizens are shareholders, and everyone lives under the shadow of the climate crisis, which is called Hothouse Earth. At 9:30, Shauna Sprouls will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but first these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Christian Garibay.
The Boulder Police Department made an arrest on Wednesday in connection to the threats made against Casey Middle School. The threats came Tuesday morning, the same day a gunman walked into an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, and murdered 19 children and 2 teachers. The suspect arrested yesterday evening by Boulder Police is a 14-year-old student who had allegedly threatened to carry out a school shooting at Casey today, the final day of school. Police executed a search warrant of the teen's home in Superior yesterday and charged him with a felony charge of inciting destruction of life or property and a misdemeanor charge of interference of staff or students of educational institutions. The BPD has coordinated with the Boulder Valley School District to increase security around the school. Schools in the Denver metro area have increased security on school grounds through the end of the school year. Denver Public Schools said in a statement that there will be an increased uniform presence in and around schools and will make mental health professionals available to students for the last 2 weeks of the school year. The Boulder Valley School District has also increased security and additional police officers at Casey Middle School, where rumors about a possible threat to the school were made on social media. The director of the Colorado Emergency Management was suspended for 3 days due to a pattern of inappropriate behavior. Luis Licon has more.
The director of the Colorado Emergency Management, Michael Willis, was suspended for 3 days without pay and was stripped off work-related travel following an investigation of allegations of intimidation of 2 female employees during meetings in this past spring. Reports have found that Willis has been acting unprofessionally by yelling and throwing objects during meetings. Kevin Klein, the director of Colorado's Division of Homeland Security, said that he will take steps to address the behavior and that instances of inappropriate behavior must be corrected immediately. As part of the suspension, Willis must also go through a stress management program and meet with both female employees. Willis was also placed on administrative leave for 2 weeks in March after he threw an object during a meeting and yelled at an employee, according to the Denver Post. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
A new Colorado bill acts to fight the dangers of fentanyl. KGNU's Jimmy Sirfas has more.
Governor Jared Polis signed House Bill 1326 into law Wednesday. The stated aim of the new law is to help combat the dangers of fentanyl, a drug that is fueling record-high overdose rates. The Denver Post reports fentanyl is responsible for around 900 deaths in Colorado in the last year. The bill directs $29 million towards tools such as testing strips and opioid overdose reversal drugs, as well as education campaigns. It also expands addiction treatments in jails. The bill met significant opposition over its increased criminal penalties for possession of fentanyl. The new law makes the possession of at least 1 gram of fentanyl or a fentanyl compound a felony. The final text of the bill stripped away legal protections for those unknowingly in possession of fentanyl. A nonpartisan state analyst projected the bill would create 3,000 new fentanyl felony cases each year in Colorado. For KGNU, I'm Jimmy Sirfas.
The Department of Public Health and Environment, or CDPHE, will begin sending both text and email reminders starting May 26 to Colorado citizens over the age of 50 who are now eligible to get their 4th booster vaccination dose. The system will remind up to 650,000 Coloradans to go and get their next shot. As the system gets updated, the number could increase over time. The decision comes after the CDPHE recommended that citizens stay up to date on their doses, as to provide more protection from new COVID variants. Expect sunny weather all throughout the Front Range today and almost no wind. In Boulder, a high near 82 and a low around 48. In Denver, a high near 83 and a low around 54. In Fort Collins, a high near 85 and a low around 47. Outside the Boulder studio, it's 48 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Today is the last day of school in many school districts, including the one in Boulder Valley. It's been a hard year and an especially devastating week. The pandemic was already extraordinarily disruptive to education. And then came a mass shooting at King Soopers, the Marshall Fire, the Omicron wave outbreaks, a security incident that forced the evacuation of University Hill Elementary in January, and now the mass murder in Uvalde. For parents wondering how to process and communicate this week's events with their kids, here's some advice from Robin Gerwich, professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Duke University Medical Center and Center for Child and Family Health.
I think it's so important for parents to take a deep breath and jump in and have the hard conversation. What the science tells us is that parents that are willing to talk about these topics with their children actually do better than parents who try to protect them and shield them from any discussions. So it can start as simple as, there's been a shooting in Texas. Tell me what you know, or tell me what you've heard.
Gerwich says it's very important to help children recognize we've been through rough times in the past few years, and we can get through this as well.
Children may have many reactions from stress. You may see changes in sleep, in behaviors. They may be more irritable, problems with focus and concentration, attention. Just things are different than they normally are, more irritability. So if you see these changes and they're lasting for a while to the point that they are interfering with day-to-day functioning, please don't wait. Reach out to your pediatrician, to your family care doctor, to your local mental health agency to get some support, because there are wonderful evidence-based, scientifically grounded treatments for children as well as for adults. So know that those are out there and available if you see anything that can say, hey, this may be a problem. Because if we don't do anything, we know that children have increased risk for depression, anxiety, and as they get older, substance use and thinking about suicide. So better to err on the side of caution than to wait and then it's too late.
Teachers, parents, and students are struggling, all while trying to hold it together for each other. I just want to take a moment to personally thank every teacher and school employee who showed up this year. You deserve the rest, and your work is recognized and appreciated. The Making of Chicanas, Nurturers and Warriors is a documentary about Denver women with Mexican and Indigenous roots who have dedicated themselves to social justice. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better spoke with Rowena Alegria, chief storyteller of the City of Denver, about the film.
Rowena Alegria is the chief storyteller for the City and County of Denver, a program which was launched in 2019 as a social justice effort that has recorded 400 stories in order to bring those voices into City Hall.
I am the founder and director of the city's first Office of Storytelling, which was launched in 2019 as a social justice effort and as a community engagement effort. In those 3 years, we've recorded 400 stories, two-thirds of them told by people of color, all of them in their own voices with no narrator or no voiceover. The goal is to use storytelling to preserve culture in the way historic preservation preserves buildings, to engage marginalized communities to tell their own stories in their own voices, to bring those voices into City Hall to inform and improve policymaking, to fill in where history has too often left off.
Alegría, filmmaker of the Chicanas, Nurturers, and Warriors, features remarkable women who have made transformative political, social, and cultural contributions to Denver. Will screen today, May 26, from 6 to 9 p.m. at a collective as a combined effort of the Lafayette Cultural Arts Commission and the Public Art Committee.
The film originally premiered at the Denver Film Festival in November of 2021. And since then, we have been asked to bring the film to an additional 10 locations, including by the City of Lafayette at the Collective Community Arts Center on Thursday. What we're finding is that this is a story that really resonates with so many in this area because the Chicano movement was really strong here in the 60s and 70s. There are a lot of people in this area who are Chicano in the sense that they were born and raised in this country. The border crossed them, and yet they're still othered in a place that, you know, many of them have spent, their families have been here literally hundreds of years. And if you look more at the indigenous part of them, they've been here forever. And the fact that this story isn't told often enough. It isn't in schools. It isn't in a lot of books. It is kind of an untold story unless you're in the know. People really want to hear about it. And City of Lafayette, because they were focused on racism in the area, heard from other people who had seen the film and asked us if we would come and bring it to Lafayette and then have a conversation about what it is to be Chicana, but also about racism and about social justice and about Denver history, Colorado history. The state historian Nikki Gonzalez, who was in our film, is also going to be at the event on Thursday.
Alegría explains the complex history of being a Chicana, a story that is not told in schools.
To be Chicana is to be a woman born in this country with strong Mexican and indigenous roots and a life dedicated to social justice. For many of us, it means that our families have been in this area sometimes for centuries. If you look at the indigenous element in us, we've been here even longer than that, millennia. And yet we are treated like we're other. I mean, growing up in Denver, we were invisible or we were marginalized. Our history wasn't and still sadly isn't taught enough in schools. There aren't enough books about who we are and where we come from, and yet here we are and influencing what happens in this city. The women we interviewed have been a powerful force for Latina, Mexicana, Chicana areas, from politics to education to the arts and theater, making a difference and opening doors. We wanted to highlight them and tell that history, because it's a proud history and it should be more well known.
This documentary shows the characteristics of the Chicano movement set in between a nurturer and a warrior, says Alegría.
The whole idea of language and terminology is really important to many of the women in the film. It comes up again and again. We specifically ask them, what do you call yourself? How do you see yourself? And what we heard again and again was this conflict between me determining who I am and the larger society trying to fit me into a box and say, you're this or you're that. And it does go back to this whole colonial idea. We're supposed to be English speakers, or we're supposed to be part of this, you know, ridiculous melting pot, which really doesn't exist. And yet we have continued to be who we are, and that some of us, you know, speak English, some of us speak Spanish, some of us have taken an interest in indigenous languages. Most of us, especially those involved in the movement, have made an especial effort to recognize those challenges and challenge them in turn in our own lives, with our children in schools, by writing, by participating in the movement and pushing society and those ideals with pride. And, you know, this is who we are. We're proud of who we are. Whether we speak English or Spanish, we recognize that that's a complicated history. Not everyone had a choice to to choose if they were going to speak this language or that language. We very much were forced to live a certain way and give up beliefs and political system and religion in many cases to fit into society. And I think one of the real prides of being part of the Chicano movement or being Chicana, Chicano, is this idea that I'm allowed to be proud of who I am and where I come from, regardless of how other people see me. And I can bring that to the next generations. I can bring that to my family. I can bring that to my work. I can push against the society and say, no, we've been here and we're going to be here and we're going to be proud of who we are and continue to be nurturers and warriors for our people and for the larger people.
I Am Denver started as a movement to promote storytelling in order to rescue the history and the stories that are not told in order to inspire young people to feel proud of their heritage, says Alegría.
Chicanas, nurturers and warriors, it's really important for young people, especially young women, to see this film because of, I believe, that the power it has to empower them. For them to see women who look like them, who have encountered similar or even more difficult challenges to be the kind of women they wanted to be. I mean, in the 70s, a woman couldn't even get a credit card in her own name. It had to be in her husband's name. And yet, we found women who surpassed that, who got an education, who went and made a difference in their communities, and a difference that is continuing to be felt today. And I've seen it happen where young people come and they see this film, they understand this history and where we came from as a people in a way that they're just not going to get in a classroom. There isn't a book that's going to explain it in the same way that we have explained it or the women in the film explained it. And so I see them light up. I see them be excited and be proud. And I think it's so important to be, you can accomplish anything if you are proud of who you are and you see, you can be what you can see. You see a woman who's doing incredible things. And for these young women, I think they see the film and they can believe that I can be that too. I can do some incredible things in spite of the challenges that I'm facing today. And I think we need them more than ever because while there were a lot of societal challenges then, what we're facing today is even greater. And so many of the things those women faced are back again. The rights for women, for voting, for police brutality, for economic equity, all of those things we're still fighting. So it's really important for the next generation to understand and pick up that fight and, you know, let's all go together and try to make a better world.
That was Rowena Alegría with the Denver Office of Storytelling and producer of the film Chicanas, Nurturers and Warriors. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longobetter.
It's time for Radio Nibbles with John Lindorf, who has two guests in the studio today. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Shannon, and good morning to everybody out there gathered around the extremely large KGNU kitchen table. It's Radio Nibbles, and I have two guests. During the pandemic, I know I started getting food delivered, and I just noticed immediately this pile of single-use containers, you know, black plastic and cups and things. I tried to repurpose some of them, but, you know, it got to the point where you couldn't. And I thought, you know, surely there is another way to do this. And my guests today have found a way to do that. They have started a company locally called Repeater, and it's reusable containers for takeout and delivery food, and it answers that question. So my guests are the two co-owners of Repeater, Ashwin Ramdas and
Chris Todd.
And Chris Todd with me. Welcome to KGNU.
Thanks for having us, John.
Yeah, thank you.
So one of you, tell us basically how Repeater works.
Sure. Yeah. So Repeater is a, like you said, it's a reusable takeout container program here in Boulder. So what we do is we partner with restaurants directly. We stock them with our reusable containers so that you as a customer have the option to get your takeout and delivery in the reusable containers. So whenever you're ordering takeout, you can ask for your food to be packed in Repeater reusable containers.
So it's like you click a button like you would ask for extra pepperoni on your pizza.
Exactly. So we're like a menu item on our participating restaurants' menu pages. We're just an item that you add to your order. And so that the restaurant sees that you want your food packed in reusable containers. And so then you'll get your food in those reusable containers, and then you have 2 weeks to return the containers once you're done enjoying your food at one of our drop-off bins around town. And we're also partnering with some courier services who will pick up those containers from your door. And then once we get those containers back, we sanitize them really well in a commercial facility, and then we restock the restaurants with clean ones so that we've created this closed loop where you can get your takeout and delivery with all the convenience you're used to, but without all the, you know, like you said, the mountain of plastic waste and single-use waste that usually comes with it.
And why is Repeater better than, say, compostables?
Compostables come with their own baggage. You know, I mean, if you think about, like, compostables made from sugarcane, for instance, you're growing an entire field of sugarcane and just repurposing that for packaging, I mean, makes no sense in the long run.
It's still better than the
plastic. Plastic, absolutely. It's a step in the right direction,
but it even depends, even when you're comparing it to single-use plastic, because the accessibility that people have to composting and the actual rate that these compostable packages really do get composted is really low. And at this low rate, when compostables get sent to a landfill, they end up releasing methane, which is a lot more potent than CO2. And like Chris was saying, in the agricultural process and their manufacturing process, they're very resource intensive.
A lot of water and stuff. The other advantage to this is that, why would restaurants want to do this? I mean, one reason you're saying is that it's cheaper than using compostables or equivalent.
No, it's cheaper. We beat conventional pricing, whether it be compostables or single-use plastics, by at least 25%, in some cases as much as 40% for the restaurant. So, when we built this, we looked at, spreading the cost around a little bit. So the user does pay a small fee.
Right. But it's like, how much is it?
It depends. It's based on the size of the container. So anywhere from 25 cents to 75 cents per container.
Right. So,
but that's the cost to cost for convenience, I guess, in this particular example. And then the restaurants, we had to make it make sense for them financially as well.
So you've got restaurants in Boulder and Denver. What are some of the restaurants in Boulder that are using it?
Yeah, I think we have Fresh Times, First Times Eatery. We have Leaf, Zeal, Ashkara, Cafe Ion, Yellow Belly, Gurkha's on the Hill.
Boco Restaurant.
Boco.
Which just changed its name, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Something Heroes or something. Okay. Anyway. And then you have places in Denver also, and you're adding more.
Yeah.
To use Repeater reusables, essentially you sign up for the app.
Yeah, you can download our app from the Apple or Google Play Store. The name of the app is called Repeater Reusables To Go. So just search that, it'll come up. Or you can go to our website, eatrepeater.com.
Right.
And there's a button right on our homepage where you can sign up and use Repeater right from your laptop, too. Once you're a member, you'll get a 5-digit ID, and you use that ID whenever you're ordering from our restaurants. And that allows us to verify your user, and you'll get containers and just return them from there.
The other thing about these containers that I like, I've talked to a lot of chefs, especially during the pandemic, and they were kind of downtrodden because they make this beautiful food, and then it gets shipped in these containers, and the compostables don't necessarily help because they're not sturdy enough and they sog out and stuff. And so they're happy to have a more solid container that's going to preserve. I mean, it holds the heat, mm-hmm. and it doesn't leak, and it's right.
Yeah, you know, we are. I would say we're in between containers right now. Mm-hmm. What we have right now is a durable plastic. That's not where we mm-hmm. want to land at the end of the day. We'd like to design our own containers of a more thoughtful material.
Right.
But, you know, you have to...
But how many times can you use a repeater container?
Yeah, the manufacturer says 1,000 uses per container.
You know, thank you for being here and telling everybody about repeater. You can go to eatrepeater.com to find out more. Have you eaten anything really exciting lately anywhere?
Yeah, we just onboarded a restaurant called Mr. Oso in Denver, and I just had their cauliflower al pastor tacos, and they were bomb.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a sucker for Fresh Times cauliflower tacos.
It's a cauliflower taco day.
Yeah, you know? It is. You can't go wrong with cauliflower tacos.
All right. Thank you for being here today on Radio Nibbles.
That's all the time we have for the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for the BBC.